Amen. Praise the Lord for that reminder of why we are here. Amen? Amen. Do things look a little different in here? I'm wearing a suit. That's right, I am. There are a number of things that look different in here, in fact. And wearing the suit was Amy's idea. She said, are you going to wear your suit? And I thought, I haven't worn my suit in years. Even when I do funerals nowadays, I ask them, do you want me to wear aloha suit or a robe? And they all say aloha nowadays, so I go with aloha. So I haven't worn a suit in a long time, but this is a fitting time to wear a suit. Amen? I look okay? I don't even know how I look. Still fits? Okay. One of the things that sometimes people say is when I stand on the ground over here, that they like it that I'm closer to you, except that they can't see me. And so another comment was that whenever I stand on the ground and I back up, and my heel hits that bottom step, it kind of causes people a little bit of anxiety that I'm going to fall down. And of course, without the step up here, when I preach from up here, then it's a very small place. I know I can go way out here on this side, and then when I go to the left, I can go like here. And so, anyway, a guy named John Wong suggested, what if we extended the stage out like 4 feet? And I said, I'm in. I like that idea. Anyway, so the building committee said, yeah, we can go ahead and do that. And John and his gang brought it in on Friday night. And now I'm free. I mean, look at this. I can walk up here. And a lot more places for the kids to be up here too, right? Yes, this is a great, and just in time for Easter. Because Easter is a time when lives are changed. And that's what really all this is about. And as I thought, we're going through Easter, I thought, there was somebody whose mother, in fact, it's Gladys, May. You guys know May and Gladys? You usually hear Gladys back there is not here today because she fell and broke her hip. And so she was in the hospital, got a successful surgery in the hip, and she was not in pain or anything like that. But the other day I said, I'm going to bring Good Friday, since you can't come to church on Friday or Sunday, I'm going to bring Good Friday to you. So I went to the church. I went to the hospital and just kind of read from the scriptures an account of Jesus' death and the two thieves being crucified on the cross. It reminded them that the thief, he was a thief. Think about this. Theft was something you could be put to death for back in the day. It was a capital offense. He was hanging on the cross next to Jesus, and by simple faith, he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's the message of the gospel. It's so simple, simple faith that we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of his love for us that he has accomplished everything for us on the cross. Today's sermon is captured by the loves of God. As I reflected upon this Easter weekend, it's much like two halves of a story, two halves of a campaign, if you will. So you think about when you go and buy a car, you see an advertisement on the radio, on the TV, of a car, and they show you all these features, all these beautiful things about a car, and you think, wow, that's a really amazing car. I want to have a car like that. And then what happens is you think there's a showroom and then there's auto dealership and everything that goes on, and that's where the pizzazz happens for the car. But automakers know that the real work that happens is really at the manufacturing plant, right? Where nobody sees this. Nobody sees what goes into the manufacture of this car. Nobody sees the engineer drawing out some plans. That all happens behind the scenes. All we see the big presentation at the end. And Easter is like that. We have the heavy-duty work of Jesus Christ being done on the cross on that Friday, where sins are being paid for. And there is a forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ brings to us. But it results in something. And on Sunday, that proclamation is made. We see the results of that, sins paid for. And that is when the proclamation is made. And so we see these two halves. We see a quiet thing going on, and we see a loud thing going on. It's like that when we talk about educating our children. We, at the, you see these bumper stickers right on the car. My child is an honor student, right? And you can kind of be proud about your child that maybe has a poster on the wall, honor roll, and things like that. And every so often they get these scholars that show up in the newspaper. But what happens behind the scenes? That child is quietly working. Sometimes the parent is quietly forcing the kid to work. Amen? And that's not the fun part. But that's where the work is done, right? So there's a quiet part of this whole thing, and then there's the results that's declared. That's what our message is about today, that God has a quiet love on Friday, and on Sunday he has a loud love. On Friday, on Easter, Easter weekend really is a package of both of these. The Bible says that greater love has no man than this, that one give his, lay down his life for his friends. You lay down your life for your friends. Not too many people see those kinds of things. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. So Christ's death and burial and resurrection contains a quiet love, and it contains a bodacious, loud proclamation of that love. And so if you have your bulletin, I already gave the answers here for number one and number two. There are only 2 points. And really, Easter is kind of simple that way. There are only 2 things really about to Easter to remember. One is God quietly paid for your sins on that cross with no fanfare, with no recognition, with dishonor, but on the third day, he proclaimed victory over all of that. So on that number one, if you look in your bulletin, notes, it says, on Friday, God expressed his quiet love. His quiet love. And I don't know about you, but his quiet love captures my heart. When things are done in sacrifice for me, it captures my heart. And I hope that God's quiet love will capture your heart. And on Friday, we got to spend time here, Good Friday service, just really enjoying the presence of the Lord. But today is Sunday. And today is a day that we want to talk about God's loud love. Now, it's not a loud in an aural state, aural. You know what A-U-R-A-L means, right? Like a hearing way. It's loud in a sense that it just goes out. I remember a long time ago, somebody, I was with a bunch of my cousins, and they happened to be girls, and then they kind of knew these words to use for people's outfits, right? And so we were at this party or something, and somebody walked in with a loud dress. Ever heard of that? That dress is loud. I remember that's the first time I heard of that term, loud. Now, the dress wasn't loud. You couldn't hear it, but it stood out. And you folks know what that means, right? It stood out. And like that, God's love on Easter Sunday is a loud love. It's like a megaphone, God's declaration, that's louder and longer than any electronic current, any kind of speaker system we could possibly set up. Why? Because of the power behind all of that he did. In Acts chapter 2, in your bulletin, I wrote out a number of words that summarize Peter's statement to the crowd. When people were asking, the Holy Spirit was poured out, people were speaking in tongues, and people were wondering, what's going on here? And Peter said, people thought that the disciples were drunk. And they said, Peter said, they're not drunk as you think they are. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. So, but Peter, what I did was I synthesized a bunch of these important statements in the this whole section on Acts chapter 2. And I just want to see if that, is that, does that match him? Yeah, that matches what I have here, right? Okay. Okay, it does match, yeah? Okay, so why don't we go ahead and read this together, and this will kind of be like our scripture reading, all right? This is a synthesis, a summary of what Peter said. Acts chapter 2, ready, go. Peter says that God showed who Jesus was through his miracles, wonders, and signs, and everyone saw it. Wicked men killed him anyway, but God raised him from the dead. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God raised Jesus from the dead, and everyone there witnessed it. Then Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, your sins will be forgiven. The promise is for you and your children, and for all those who are far off, those who God will call." That was Peter's statement about a month and a half or so after Jesus was raised from the dead. That was a loud statement of God's love. Today, 2,000 years later, Peter's message of death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is still ringing out. That's what I mean by loud love. The resurrection of Jesus Christ really is like a heavenly megaphone to humanity that astounded even the most advanced culture at that time. Christ's resurrection is God's loud and unashamed and extravagant love that the world is forced to take notice. The world is forced to take notice. That's what I mean by loud love. The resurrection of Jesus Christ became the event with the most amount of historical evidence in ancient history. You might not have known that, but it is. That's what I mean by loud love. The eyewitness testimonies, the police records, historian records, even hostile witnesses point to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That's what I mean by loud love. In comparison, Dr. Paul Meyer notes that the silence of history is deafening when it comes to the testimony against the resurrection. Did you get that? The silence of history is deafening when it comes to testimony against the resurrection. That's what I mean by loud love. So in the years following Jesus' resurrection, many of Jesus' enemies would even become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We all know the Apostle Paul, right, who initially persecuted Christians to their death, became a preacher of the gospel, eventually gave his life in response to the gospel. Jesus' own brother ridiculed Jesus during his ministry, but he would end up following Jesus and become a martyr for the faith of following Jesus. That's what I mean by loud love. So the two loves of God, God's quiet love and God's loud love, go out into all the world. It's a proclamation that's heard because of you and me telling one another out there of the work of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection hope that we have. Now, I want you to think about junior high. I know the older I got, when I was young, I used to think, I can't wait to be old. And now that I'm old and I think about being young again, I think, I don't want to be young. Not in junior high anyway. Maybe in my 20s or something, but not junior high. Go, okay, think about junior high. And then let's say your friend comes and tells you, hey, I know that girl over there. She likes somebody, you know. She likes somebody. And you think, oh, okay, that's good. She likes you. Whoa. That changes everything, doesn't it? When you hear, okay, she likes somebody. Okay, that's fine. Oh, she likes you. Whoa, okay, all your antenna go up. Maybe your hair kind of goes up too. But that changes everything, doesn't it? And pretty soon, that whisper goes around to her friends. Hey, I like that boy over there. And then her friends tell your friends, and your friends tell you, hey, we're going to go out. You want to ask that girl if she wants to go? And then pretty soon, the whisper becomes loud, especially to you. Now, you go to math class, and you're trying to think about math, but what are you really thinking about? You're thinking about the girl, that's right. And you go to history class, and you want to concentrate on history. What do you think about? Okay, not history. Even if you didn't have somebody in love with you, you wouldn't think about history. Okay, but that's loud. When you're with your family, you're thinking about this girl, and you go, oh, man. Now, I am like that friend who whispers to you, God's in love with someone. God's in love with someone. But wait, God's in love with you. I want you to hear that, because I want you to hear it a little bit different from, for God so loved the world. I want you to hear that God is in love with you. Not just a mass of people. He is in love with people, individuals. He has his eye on you. And that's his love for you. But unlike a childish childhood crush. These childhood crushes come and they go and they come and they go. God loves you forever. And with God, I love you forever is not just a sentiment on a Hallmark card. It is a statement of fact, of truth. I love you forever. Jeremiah 33, 19 through 20 is a very interesting passage. I don't have that in your notes page, but I want you to write that down. Jeremiah 33, 19 and 20. You're going to find this useful in your thinking about creation and things like this. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I'm going to just kind of give you the summary version of this. That verse says, if you can change the fixed laws of the universe, if you can change the fixed laws of heaven and earth, then I won't have a savior, a leader, a king to sit on the throne of David. Now, this is an interesting statement. If you can change the fixed laws of the universe, if you can change day and night, you think you can change day and night, times and things? Well, you can't. That's God is making a point here. This is so certain that I have someone who will sit a descendant of servant, my servant David, to sit as the leader of my people. And what did we find out? Just as surely as Jeremiah said this, this came true. Now, we have to remember, when Jeremiah said this, there was no leader on the throne of Israel. There was no leader. But God is making a promise. A promise that as is as ironclad as the fixed laws of the universe. You got that? This promise of who he's going to have as somebody who sits on the throne is as solid as the fixed laws of the universe. As surely as the sun will rise tomorrow, as surely as the sun rose and set yesterday, this is going to happen. And I'm going to say this because this isn't the only promise that God gives us. God's love is for you. And I'd like to show, this is not simply for us to sit here and say, wow, Jesus, that is just amazing what you did. You died for our sins and you rose from the dead. Wow. Of course, we should say that, but it doesn't end with that. All of that reaches out to you because this resurrection life is for you. And it's essential for us to know the promise of God. So I'd like to take a look at 1 Corinthians 15. And I wrote this a little bit wrong in the notes. My good friend Keanu back there caught the error. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 20. And I wrote, if you look next to it, it says 24. It should say 42. 42 to 44. Not 24 to 44, but 42 to 44. So I kind of transpose those two numbers. So if you can change that. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 says, I'll just say that real quick. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15, 20. That Jesus Christ is indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That is, just as Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, just as I've said all of these loud statements that God made about Jesus rising from the dead, that is, he's just the first fruits. You know what first fruits in a harvest is, right? It's just a small token portion. The rest of the harvest is to come. Who's the rest of the harvest? That's you. So just as surely as Jesus is raised from the dead, you are going to be raised from the dead. It's with that kind of absolute certainty, as surely as the sun rose this morning, and as surely as the laws of the universe are fixed, likewise, God's promises are certain. And let's take a look at what's in store for you and me. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So these natural bodies we have eventually will perish. But it will be raised glorious. It will be raised imperishable. It will be raised in honor. It will be raised a spiritual body. Many of you are seeing your bodies decline today. Many of you have seen the bodies of your loved one declining. Many of you have seen the effects of sin in our relationships, on our minds, the effects of sin in our households. This promise is for you, that our bodies are sown in dishonor. When our bodies break down, we don't stand up and cheer, do we? When somebody has a stroke or paralysis, or when somebody has cancer, we don't stand up and cheer those things. When somebody's struggling with a mental illness, we are experiencing our bodies being sown in dishonor. And if this life is all we had to live for, then we would just end up in dishonor. But the promise of God, as surely as the laws of the universe are fixed, as surely as we can plan and send out a space probe into the farthest reaches of the solar system because of fixed laws, they're that reliable. Likewise, we can depend that our bodies that are sown as weak vessels will be raised in glory. Our bodies that are sown a natural body will be raised a spiritual body. God's love, God's loud love, is the remedy for the world. It's a remedy for your neighbor. It's a remedy for the person you're working with. It's a remedy for your friend who calls you up and says, "My husband left me. What do I do now?" It's a remedy for you when you go to the doctor and you hear that dreaded diagnosis. It's the remedy for those of you who are waiting and running out of time. It's a remedy for those of you who want to do good and you do good and somebody attacks you for it. It's a remedy for the you who are discarded and rejected by the world. God quietly whispers His healing at the cross. Then He loudly declares, "I love you." And He turns to His friends. Those are His friends, and He whispers in the ear, "I love him. I love him. I'm in love with him." He turns to His friends, "I love her. I love her." No matter what you've gone through, God's quiet love and His loud love declare that we will all follow Jesus to glory through faith in Him. The Bible says that if we died in Him, we will be raised in Him. So go ahead. Get in the car. Get in that car. Experience the quiet love and loud love of God on Easter weekend. Let's pray. Our Father, you know our need for you. You know the pain each person is going through. Father, I pray that your quiet love, the love on the cross, the love that you've shown, expressed in a God kind of love, the way the Apostle Paul put it, that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for that work, Lord. Thank you so much for that work. But we thank you also, Lord, that you didn't want to keep it a secret. It was quiet, but it wasn't a secret. Thank you for your loud love. The love that went out from the voices of the apostles, written to the pages of Scripture that we can read today and have been reading throughout millennia, thousands of years, and then we can continue to declare your loud love, Lord, because of what you've done in us and that you have given us an assurance that is as certain as the fixed laws of the universe, because that's how certain your promises are. That Jesus Christ is the one in whom all authority in heaven and earth rests. We thank you, Lord. We follow him. We follow him to the cross. And we follow him in resurrection power. Thank you, God. We love you. We love you. We receive your quiet love and your loud love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.